Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Attraction HQ podcast, where we look at love, sex, dating, relationships, how you can have more of them, how they can be better quality, how you can feel inspired and become a better person within yourself by ignoring conventional dating advice, taking outside strategies and perspectives, and striving to become the most real, authentic, honest, and sexiest version of yourself. Hi, my name's Hayley Quinn, and welcome back to another episode of Attraction HQ. I'm here to give you a female-empowered, perspective-flipping version of dating and love advice. So if you want to hear about what women really are thinking and feeling, and also learn about dating skills in a way that's kind of ethical and honest, you are in the right place. I'm joined today by the awesome writer and therapist, Charles Rare, who's a return and very popular podcast guest. So welcome back.
Thank you.
And as usual, we stumbled upon this topic for this podcast completely organically whilst chatting pre-podcast. And it was, we were talking, I think, actually about a few instances when I was approached recently, and like the male mindset around approaching in a way that kind of sets you up for failure, which we decided to call planning for rejection.
Planning for failure.
Yeah, exactly. So what? You said failure again. So what are we getting at when we say what is it to plan for failure, right, or to plan for rejection?
All right. So from a personal perspective, and being a guy, I think one of the first barriers you're going to come across when you try to approach women is, what if she doesn't sort of, you know, adhere to what I want, or she comes around? What is she going to do? What if I'm rejected? That's like one of the first things. I've dealt with that numerous times, and it either does one of two things. You either choose not to follow through with it, or you plan for the rejection. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to sort of, it's kind of like when you start a sales job and they're like, all right, cool, these are the objections. This is how you deal with the objections. And that's what we do as men. I feel like we then start planning for that rejection. We start to say, all right, cool, what if she says no? What if she doesn't actually respond? What do I do? What's my next move? I don't want to seem incompetent. So we plan based around the fact or the expectation that we're going to be rejected.
And then what happens, or what I think is really funny, is, and I've seen this numerous times when I'm coached by clients, and also when I've just been, like, you know, thrown a bit of a curveball at a man in a nice way that's approached me. If the woman is actually surprisingly open, friendly, relaxed, willing to talk, wanting to take things further herself, then suddenly the guy can be like, hang on a minute, I didn't plan for this.
I didn't plan for this part. What's going on?
Yeah, now the roadmap has ran out because I've spent so much time thinking through how I would respond to a no. Now I've got a yes. That was the one response I wasn't prepared for.
It's like going into school or going to university and you're thinking, all right, these three subjects, I hope these come up on the exam, but then it's the other three and you're like, what do I do? That's what comes up. That's what the feeling is like.
And what I hear back from some of the guys that I work with as well is they're literally, they walk up to a woman, she's really receptive and, you know, she just wants to give them her number. They'll be like, what have I done to earn that?
Yeah, like, I haven't done anything yet.
Yeah, they feel like they've fluked. One of my guys that I work with, he's a karate champion. He's like, is it like that, like when I fluke a point and I just win? And my coach says, a win is a win. And I agree, a win is a win. Yeah, like, I think you've already won by the fact you chose to approach her.
I feel that as well. I think that it takes a lot of courage to even just like act on anything these days. Yeah. So in knowing that, you know, most men have probably dealt a lot with rejection, that's led to the anxiety or the paranoia around rejection in general, that for you to even approach her knowing that you're going to or possibly might be rejected, that's quite courageous. In a modern day, like, you know, especially you are sort of like, how would I say, you may be faced with the modern day type of woman who's pretty firm and knows what she wants. And, you know, you might not be that guy. But to even still move forward and say, well, I'm going to try my luck. And not to kind of, you know, obviously respond in a very sort of distasteful way if you are rejected, then I consider that quite courageous.
I think it's very courageous. I actually, you know, for me, if a guy approaches me in a way that's direct, immediately he goes so high up in my estimation because I recognise all the thought process that he's got to that point of putting one foot in front of the other and coming over to say hello.
Yeah, or just hi, how you doing?
Yeah.
What's up? Like, you know.
It doesn't have to be. In fact, lots of guys think, oh, I need this like perfect system.
This perfect moment, right?
Right.
It's that moment, like...
Or I have these lines because then that will, if I crack the code, then I'll never have to face rejection. And in fact, often it's the most simple, spontaneous beginnings which get the best response because what she's reading from that is, you didn't plan this, you're just putting your neck on the line. And in fact, that means that you've got courage and that there's some sincere interest in her. And that's what she begins to respond to. Like some that I had recently, I had somebody go running out after I exited a bar and he went, fuck it, can I have your number? And I thought, I was like, no, you know, that was cool. And then even better was the guy that came, I'd actually seen him madly when I was out working with two of my female clients. I was getting the women to approach guys at this bar. Mm. So when he sort of approached me, I was a bit dismissive, not because I thought there was anything wrong with him. It's just I was working.
Yeah, he was already doing something.
Yeah. And then he brilliantly, I thought, like, major credit here, saw me again, like 3 weeks later around the same neighborhood in the daytime and came running after me. He's like, I'm the guy from the bar. And I thought, like, and he's like, hey. And he was really super friendly, smiling. And I didn't feel that he was being too pushy or too persistent. I was like, wow. I was like, I was a bit dismissive towards you at a bar, didn't follow up on your business card, and you've actually come up and said hello to me again, like, we're just, oh, you know, friendly and relaxed. And then again, my estimation of him went, like, through the roof just from doing that.
Just what you've told me actually reminds me a lot of things. I feel like a woman can be quite receptive to whether a guy is planning his approach or it's quite organic.
Yeah, organic, always better, right?
Always better, because I think when guys, and when we plan for the approach, you know, we keep it quite typical. It's kind of like, hey, what do you do? And, you know, what's your name? And, you know, the very basics, but, you know, you can kind of tell, like, the way in which we're asking these questions is quite thought out and it's a bit boring. Women get this a lot of times, surprisingly. Some women, you know, they say they don't get approached a lot, like you said today, but, like, you know, it's likely that a lot of women are getting approached more than men. So it's pretty much that they have more experience in being approached, what to look out for. But when something comes and it's, you don't even expect it, you did not plan for the type of plan he has, and it's just organic, I think it's a lot more, you know, you throw them off this guard, you know, they don't have a guard because they didn't expect it. So it might make things a lot more easier. Timing and even where you speak to a woman, I think is key as well.
Yeah.
So I had a friend who went to one of the festivals, and, you know, it was a typical type of festival where, you know, it's hot summer's day, guys are out in their sort of tank tops, and it was like, he saw this girl, but he said to himself, you know, he could have probably sort of like hindered himself in this way, but he was like, you know, she's being approached left, right and center. If I'm going to go up straight away, I'm being painted in the same image as all these other guys. And, like, what would you say that a guy could do in a situation like that? Like, if that's the moment he has, and you know what? Like, he may not get another chance, but she's already being approached left, right, center. She already has her guard up. What would you say is that approach?
I think you have to acknowledge that. You know, I think actually the responsive thing to do, and you're so right at pointing out, you want to do the thing that, if you can think 99% of people, when you can calculate, are going to go in that direction, I've got to be in the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Because an original action prompts an original response. She can't deal with you in the same way. It's almost like she's rehearsed and well-prepared for a variety of bad ways that guys speak to her because she's had it happen to her before. A curveball to that or something or new stimulus means that it's off her roadmap.
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
She's equally thrown out of her comfort zones, which I think opens up a lot more room for spontaneity and a real natural attraction. I think the best thing you could do as well, if you're like, oh my God, I'm seeing other men approach her and this is not working out for them, that's what you should go in with. That's your
that's
observation.
That's exactly what I would go in with. I'm like, how are you coping with all of this? I've done it before. I was just like, how do you deal with it? Yeah. You know what I mean? And she's like, what do you mean? It's like, how do you deal with like all these guys and telling you the same thing over and over again? And, you know, you open up the laugh, which is all
And that's
all
really good. And that's very empathetic as well. That's women would love that.
Personally, it's a real fault for me. It's like, how do you girls do this? It's like, you know, you see one girl and it's like three times in less than 2 minutes, she's already been approached, like, you know, by these three different guys.
But you know what you've chimed into there? You've done something which is okay. So you haven't gone, okay, into my own brain, let me try and formulate the best plan through that. What you've done is you've actually responded in the moment, right? You've observed something about her. You've been empathetic towards her as a person rather than just like a game strategy. Then you've approached with something that's authentic and it's actually what was on your mind. And said in that style that, you know, your non-verbals being really casual and calm and relaxed, good eye contact, big smile, she's going to respond so well to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could even say, hey, look, I know, like, I've just seen 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, guys go past. And believe me, I don't want to be that person. However, you know, so if you bring up what the objection is yourself, not only does it make what you say very tailored and very personal, it allows you to regain some control over the situation, but both things are working on the same axis. It's all about actually just observing what's really going on and responding to
it. Just putting it out there. I feel like I've just had a direct experience of what it's like to be one of your male clients.
I thought it was awesome, because also we were talking about earlier before we actually cracked on and did the podcast, which was all about like learning styles. And actually sometimes a learning style that I think is most suitable if you want to get better at meeting women, learning styles that do not work. Women, to state the obvious, we're not like a textbook. It'd be nice if you could study women and come up with a perfect exam result, but there's too much material. You'll never get through it.
Too much material. Way too much.
You'll never get through it. So you can't learn it technically. People also are people, so it's not like one form of a person.
There isn't one set of a person. You have to go in with a clean mind. If you're going to observe anything, then it has to be what's there in the present around them, maybe something they've done. I've always, you know, when people have said, oh, but, you know, even my partner's actually asked, she's like, oh, if you didn't know me, like, how would you sort of approach me? And I said, like,
good question.
Well, I probably wouldn't, because I was a very nervous person before. I wouldn't actually approach girls. And when I did, if it was, you know, I did the whole planning thing, it would be inorganic and I'd be uncomfortable. But what I did say, I was like, look, I would have to have a reason to speak to you. So, for example, if we were walking somewhere and, I don't know, there's something happened that we both saw, I would use that to engage with you. It's kind of like sharing an experience, but then bringing someone else along for the ride. And then just letting natural conversation take its toll. I remember one of my exes, like, when I was back in college, who I spoke to. Now, typical example. So, I was at a bus stop. And I see this girl, this was off my normal route. So I see this girl and I'm just like, wow, wow, wow. So men go for the admiration stage, which is just sitting back, and sometimes you lose your target during this stage. And I was like, wow. And I was like, okay, cool. All right, yeah, I'm going to talk to her. All right, what am I going to say? Yeah, I did this whole planning thing. This was very real for me when I was younger. So eventually I was like, all right, cool. I got it set.
Got the plan.
Walked over to her. Tapped her on the shoulder. No, I said something, which took a lot. I didn't tap her on the shoulder. I was like, excuse me. And then I was like, she didn't look. And I was like, what the hell? And I realized she had headphones. I was like,
headphones.
Like, but I've got this flow. I've got the hype. Let me tap her on the shoulder. Now, what made it easier for me is that when she turned around, she had a little bit of a smile. Now, she could have turned around and I didn't have a smile. I don't know how I would have reacted. I think I would have just panicked and be like, hey, how you doing? Whatever it was. But, you know, we were able to have a conversation. It's like, where you headed off to? She goes, she's going to one college, which is nearby, which is great. I was like, oh, I just go to the college over there. Da, da, da. What I realized, though, is that her bus came, so I knew what college she went to, so I realized her bus was coming. Now, I could have taken that bus as well to get my route, but I said to myself, you know what, we go to nearby colleges, I'll most likely see you soon. So a key thing for me was, don't try to achieve everything in that one moment. You know, you never know. You could sometimes it's lasting impressions.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Have a great influence on yourself and someone else. But sometimes it's like, if you are bouncing to see the person again, just have a friendly conversation and then make the effort to sort of re-engage at a later date, because it makes it so much easier.
As long as you're bound to see them again. And I'm
as long as you're bound to see them again.
Because circumstances where you're not bound to see them again, you're in a nightclub or a bar and you're like, I'm going to talk to her again and just I'll have one more drink. And then you know what happens? They leave. They always leave early. Like,
what's happened? That happened to me so many times.
And also, I love that you like you notice the headphones thing, because I've seen so many guys being put off approaching them because she's got headphones in, and they're like, they walk up to her, and then it's like, abort, abort, the headphones are
just
in.
Just like headphones, it's like you don't want to be disturbed. You know, it's like.
And women, you know, are shocked when I tell them, do you know that if you're wearing headphones, men think you don't want to be approached? Yeah. They're like, what?
Or even you're looking at your phone. You know what it does? It just paints this expectation that I think a lot of people deal with, which is like, you're giving yourself so many more reasons not to approach them than to approach them. You never know. Maybe they want to be disturbed. What are they doing? They're just scrolling through their phone on Facebook, liking things on Instagram.
They're probably really bored.
Yeah, they probably need social interaction. You know?
Yeah, real
and
personal
it, and maybe if they want to kind of stick in their phone, maybe perhaps you've now learned that, nah, this person's too into the phone. They, you know, they're probably not someone who I want to engage with.
Right.
You never know. But if we keep covering people with these our own expectations and defining how someone might react to our actions, then you know we will just convince ourselves and forever convince ourselves that it's not gonna work out, I'm not gonna do it, and then what happens is you get left with nothing.
And I think actually dare I say it, Ross Jeffries expressed this really well when I was speaking to him. He's like, you only need to do two things really at the beginning. It's like, number one, you need to be vulnerable for a minute and have some courage. Then you have to just be open to whatever her response is and react. And that's the thing about learning these skills. You, as much as it'd be great to plan for it, the best planning is actually taking the action. And then afterwards, there's some backwards rationalization you can do around it. You also start to build a bit of competency because you do it more regularly. It doesn't feel so like that's like such a huge deal for you to go through. But I think it's when approaching women in terms of like learning style, I think it's the better way, and I would say this because this is mine, is to literally put one foot in front of the other. So you start to condition more of like a physical response to something. You agree with yourself that you're going to take action, even if it's an imperfect course of action, because you know that the skill isn't in getting it right at the start. The skill is in listening to her, responding and reacting in a way that flows with the interaction. Yeah. And that's where all the skill base is. And the only way you get to even practice that is if you start the whole thing going.
Just start the process. It can start and be over in 30 seconds. It can start and be over in 30 minutes.
Or 30 years.
Yeah, dun, or 30 dun, years. Dun. Ooh, see this? Gosh. You did that. Lucky you did that.
Yeah, because I'm the woman. I'm going to say, you might get married.
It is true. So literally, you have to start. And I think that is one of the best bits of advice. Do not plan for rejection. Like, even rejection in itself is like, you know, it's just a response, you know, it's a response that you can continue to respond to if you wish to. And, you know, I've had instances where I'd met women and I had really great conversations. And they'd be like, oh, I've got a partner. But what I've started to realize is that I could actually have really good conversations without going straight into the, you know, setting the expectation for her that, oh, I kind of want to get to know her in a bit more of a intimate way. You know,
and you know, if you have a good conversation with someone and you both enjoy each other's day, often if you receive that in the right way, it can give you a positive momentum. It's not like, oh, bad mindset, I've done all this work and the prize didn't pop out the other side.
And then
it's
you get this new type of guy, which is the aggressive one who can't deal with rejection. So as soon as he gets rejected, it's like, oh, well, you weren't pretty anyway, and so and so forth, and this and that. And yeah, the face that you put it basically.
The moody guy. And it's like, oh, you're so lame for acting that way. But the guy that can be like, you know what, which is actually the right attitude, it's just good life attitude. It's like, well, you know what? Well done me. I actually had the balls to approach her. I took the initiative. I took action. We had an interesting interaction. She's got a partner. There was nothing I could do to control that. But I've made her feel good about herself. She's made me feel good about myself. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take that momentum and take that to the next, then into the next interaction, actually build on it.
Yeah, build on it. Just like, you know, start building on it. And I think there's something also vital to remember is that just because someone is your type doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to be their type. Like, that is just key. You've got to have that understanding, because I think it comes, you know, when you want, I think I always will get into the realms as to why those behaviors exist. But, you know, when you want that validation or you don't sort of view yourself in such a positive way, rejection is going to come forward as a lot more dangerous to you, because you're going to react from a place of insecurities rather from a place of just having an understanding that she's not into me. So what? That's cool. That's understandable. There are some people I'm not into. So, you know, you've got to have that balance. And I think once you have those, you know, that array of information, those resources at your hand, it makes approaching someone a lot more easier. It's not the end if things don't go well. There are so many, well, as they say, plenty of fish in the sea, but I am not endorsing plenty of fish, but you know
what,
really
I think
are.
if you don't know a person, there's plenty more fish in the sea.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
If you actually have a really good connection with someone and then you're like, oh, but I want to explore the other fish in the sea, then you might be being an idiot. So I think there's a flexibility in that phrase. I think also it's about changing your intention. Just one thing, like before you start and before you go out there, you know, it's like, instead of thinking, I've got to win this, or I need a particular outcome, or if she rejects me, this means, you know, X means Y. What you could do is you could think, you know what, like, I'm a doer. I like to go after what I want in life. I like taking opportunities. There's something about this person that's made me attracted to them. I owe it to myself to explore that. If we don't connect afterwards, that's okay. I'm not supposed to connect with anyone. And in fact, I only want to keep investing my time and my life and my energy and my efforts in women who I share that connection with, or I think are cool, not only on like a physical level, but they also have like the kind of personality that I like and that we've got a vibe between us. And if not, that's fine. I can let it go. Mm-hmm. If you can change your point of focus, it always becomes better. So often I think a big potential pitfall in the area of like love and romance is we overvalue the other person immediately and undervalue ourselves. Mm. We get all the dynamic wrong and out of step. So we'll think, oh my
Hayley's
God.
He's preaching right now.
I am. And it's, you know what it is? It's because I heard from one of my guy clients, you know, he got, second day in, he got a message from the girl just saying, look, you know, make me busy. I just don't see you in that way. Mm-hmm. Which is never fun, is it, to receive one of those messages? And I'm not taking away from that. However, you know, he felt that he couldn't be friends with her because it would be too painful for them both. And in my mind, all I'm thinking is, whoa, we've had two dates here. Honestly, I know it's hard when someone really like gets you, but slow the process down. Like, you don't know this person yet.
Put yourself first. Put yourself first. You hit the nail on the head, or something you said, which is your intention. And for a long period, something like that was very important to me. So if I had met someone and, you know, you get into the conversation and people say, oh, what is it you're looking for? And or where do you foresee things going? My response became, because it was really something that aligned with my values. And what it was is that, look, my intention right now is to meet someone I can click with and meet someone who I can actually form a good platonic relationship with. You know, I wasn't trying to force the intimate relationship, because from a relationship that you have as a basis, good friendship, good communication, mm-hmm, someone mm-hmm. you can kick it with, someone you can relate to, it serves as a great foundation for anything else on top. You know, do not try, you know, putting a girl on a pedestal doesn't work. It doesn't help. Yes, there are girls that will feed off that because that's what they want, but putting her on a pedestal doesn't work for you, because what you're trying to say is that, all right, as the foundation of this newly formed relationship, her being on a pedestal is what is important. What you're really saying is she is more important than me. If you don't put yourself first, then no one ever will. And you may not experience the you know, the repercussions of that right now, but you will experience it later on down the line. Foundations are everything. And the only way I think it's best to build foundations is, like you said, it's through proper intention.
Right. Preach. I really like that.
We both preached, didn't we?
Yeah, preach. High five. Oh, we got a high five for that one. But it's true. And it's like, you know what the funny thing is as well? If you overplan, going back to the beginning of planning for rejection or planning for failure, if you're overplanning, you're already entering into, it's not a game, but if it was, you'd be entering into it the wrong way around. Because if you're planning for something, you're like, you anticipate failure, and you it works on, like, there's a subtext there of what you're communicating to yourself, which is actually, I need to do all this stuff in order to obtain that. And instead, if you kind of like see it slightly differently, of course there's skills and communication and body language and mindset. There's things you can work on to improve how you come across or how good a job you do at communicating your intentions and what you're about as a person. But that sets you up for forming much more equal and open and responsive relationships or relationship with women than if you think actually that there's, you enter it through more of like, oh, I have to perform in order to get this thing. Stop with the getting. Instead, just think, how do I present myself truly and clearly?
Who do I want to be?
Yeah. You know? And then just accept what the natural reaction and reflection of that is. So much better.
Yeah. Nicely said.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
That feels like a good point to end on. Awesome. So guys, don't plan for rejection. Enter into spontaneity. Change. If you have any intention that you want to have today, I just say, look, I owe it to myself, if I'm attracted to someone, to go and explore that opportunity, and then I'll accept what happens next. That is a very, very solid intention to manifest. So good luck putting that into action. You're probably going to be receiving this podcast when the weather is still somewhat hot, sunny,
hopefully,
and sexy. So it's a good time to get out there, guys. Just saying. Of course, if you like what I'm talking about and you want to hear more about, you know, a kind of a female wisdom version of love and dating, like, hallelujah to you if you're finding this stuff useful and interesting. As you probably know, I do an on and offline community for guys where basically I ask me anything. I answer your questions. If you send me a question a day, I answer them all personally. There's also exclusive video content that you can't get anywhere else, and on and offline events that you can participate in where I teach skills. We go out and do field study, which is like real life missions. I even do mixers with my women's group so that you can kind of like understand each other better. If that sounds interesting to you, go to HayleyQuinn.com/club, C-L-U-B. And of course, if you like the podcast, subscribe and share. Where can I find out about you,
Mr. You can find out about me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. My Instagram is rare_thoughts, and the same as Twitter. You can also visit my website, which is www.rare-thoughts.com. I also started a new podcast, just something quite early and new.
I'm looking at you like, huh? I want to be a guest.
Yeah, you will be. Don't worry. You will be. I think the first podcast was last week, and it was about the past matters, reflections of your present and future. So I speak primarily on love and relationships, just like Hayley Quinn as well, also mental health, and just also about forming a better relationship with yourself and not just with others. So yeah, you can find me on those platforms. I'm sure that will be in the description box as well, wherever that might be on this podcast. But yeah, that's where you can get in contact with me.
Awesome. All right, guys, well, set your intention, push your comfort zones, and get the hell out there. You know, I want you to represent. And I'll be back again next week with another episode of Attraction HQ. Thank you for listening to my podcast today. If you want to find out more about me, please head to HayleyQuinn.com/club, where I have a free 30-day membership available for you to my exclusive subscribers club. You can also catch up with me on YouTube at HayleyQuinnXX, on Instagram as HayleyQuinnX, and on Twitter as plain old Hayley Quinn. I'd love to hear your feedback on the show. Please engage with me, please reach out, and thank you again for your support.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.